All right, good afternoon. Everyone have a good lunch. Thank you so much, Hawk. That was amazing, as always. This is just, these introductions are just warm up for my professional road show that I have where I just introduce a series of people. I agree with the speaker who just went that, you know, between Maria and Sherry, there's just such an amazing set of talent and thoughtfulness and compassion and work that I don't think from our Native communities we've quite seen, you know, the kind of warrior that Sherry or Maria are. And they've done so much for not just our people as Penobscot, for everyone. And I know you all feel that way as well. So there are a couple of things I just wanted to do to frame what Maria's going to present. And she's done so many things. But one of the elements I wanted to talk about was this idea of identity, or indigenous identity, and it seems salient that there was a sort of open question. And I, as someone with a PhD, I won't answer it directly in any way, but only by inference will you know, get what I actually think about it. And I will again quote from and refer to an author who's a Penobscot author. Joseph Nicolar wrote this book called Life and Traditions of the Red Man, which was first published in 1893. And I think a lot of us see the work that we're doing, either as scholar or scholar activist, as kind of a continuation of the kind of work that he was engaged in education. He talked about our identity as indigenous people in ways that I think resonate with deep ecology and also kind of the work that people like Maria and Sherry are doing, which is he talked about sort of three things that made us who we are as Penobscots. And the first thing was that recognizing that all things have a spirit, that was critical to his orientation. That you know your place and where you live and the surroundings that you have, and you know your mother and your mother's family, so that we can talk about matrilineal things. But hey, that was critical to the way that he thought about our identity. The other thing that, and this is to kind of on purpose decouple the idea of indigenous knowledge as a set of tools that are sort of accessible to whomever, or you know, different conceptions or words for things, you know, that we all have a culture, right? And it's just words that see, you know, more or less darkly the same reality. The kind of work that Maria is engaged in, I think of as engaging in a kind of Wabanaki diplomacy or Penobscot diplomacy. And let me explain what I mean by that. It's rooted in a particular set of cultural preferences or experiences. And when we think of diplomacy, we think of, you know, hey, Hillary's going to go talk to Iran or whatever. You know, like, there is this sort of multinational, international kind of element to diplomacy. But our forms of diplomacy are rooted in the wampum tradition, the wampum belt tradition, in terms of building alliances. And they embody not just sort of a way of engaging cross-culturally or over time, but a way of using argument, persuasion, compassion, all the things that I think we're talking about today in creating this world that's a better place, and revisiting that for each other in terms of our place and our spirit and so forth. And I know as a historian that Maria is engaged with and is impressed by our past acts of diplomacy. She and I have exchanged archival. She's way better at this than I am. I'm not a historian or anthropologist. But we've engaged in this, looking at historical documents and seeing the testimonies or the letters or the expressions of other Penobscots and other Wabanaki people over time in the past that are expressing so much of what we're expressing today, which is an expression of our rights and our the ability of us to practice our culture, but also to be inclusive with other people. And, you know, we in these testimonies and letters and so forth in the 19th century, you see us arguing for not just, you know, you promised that we would keep these resources for our use, et cetera, et cetera. We're actually proposing, you know, a way of managing and a way of regulating that is not just culturally appropriate, but appropriate to the resource itself. And I think that that power of that testimony over time and recognizing that we're not alone in the current moment and trying to just create a language to address this by ourselves, I think is really helpful in the kind of work. So I see Maria's work as a historian really connecting those dots for us in terms of culture, being a warrior, and using our diplomacy skills. So I will introduce Maria Gerard, who I was lucky enough, and she said that she wanted me to say this, that I was lucky enough when I first got to the University of Maine that I hired her as a to really help us build a community and build some events and create a profile for the kinds of events we were doing through Native American programs, and she's great, you know, great to work with in so many ways, and we miss you. So she stops by the Wabanaki Center occasionally, so that's helpful. She's a historian, an expert on the Maine Indian Claims Settlement Act. She holds a master's degree in history from the University of Maine. She's founder of the Donland Environmental, or co-founder of the Donland Environmental Defense and the Justice for the River Movement. And she volunteers for our community coordinating the People's Garden Food Sovereignty Project. She's had a number of awards and recognitions. Just this past year, she was the 2015 recipient of the Marianne Hartman Award for her advocacy work on the preservation of cultural heritage and rights of the Penobscot Nation. Maria Gerard.